were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men carrying a paralyzed man on a net and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his net through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, Your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and praised God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Listen, I want to preach on this happy hour. I want to preach, if y'all don't mind, for the sermon type topic. I want to preach. Look at somebody, tell them tight circles. Tight circles. I want to preach on the sermon topic, tight circles. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for this time that is yours. Now, God, in Jesus' name, have your way. God, do what it is that you need to do so that we can leave here empowered, encouraged, and uplifted. God, help us to recognize the power of our circle. And help us to understand, God, the power of who we are in our circles. And so now, God, in Jesus' name, have your way. And it's in Jesus' name we want to say thank you for salvation. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you, God, for whatever it is that your people stand in need of, that you shall do it in this moment. By the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Tight circles. There's a story of a mama eagle who was had left her nest. And when she left her nest, she left 5 eagle eggs that were unhatched behind. While she was gone, one of the eagle eggs rolled out of the nest and ended up in a chicken farm. When that egg hatched, all of the chickens that were on the farm came up with this grand idea to tell the eagle that it was a chicken, because they were threatened by what would possibly happen if the eagle ever understood who it really was. So the chickens plotted this conspiracy, and for all of the eagle's life, they told the eagle it was a chicken. So the eagle spent all of his life with the DNA of an eagle and the DNA to fly, but was forever grounded due to the circle that he was around. He was created to be an eagle, but his circle raised him to be a chicken. Lord have mercy. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I believe that this story holds true for all of us at some point in our lives. The circle we have put ourselves around will help to propel us to our purpose or assist us in avoiding our God-given assignments. Our circles help to condition us to our better, or our circles help to program us to our worst. Our circles breathe life into us, or our circles have the ability to drain life right out of us. Our circles work for our good, or our circles are constantly at work to keep good from ever reaching us. Our circles give us the faith to believe in our dreams. But we had to be careful, because our circles also give us the fear to throw our dreams away. Our circles are directly linked to how long or how short it will take us to get to our desired destinations. Tell somebody, you better have a tight circle. So we must always be cognizant and conscious to those we allow in our circles, because they are doing one of two things. They are working for us or they are working against us. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I realize that sometimes it's difficult to exactly understand the circle that you have around you, especially when everything is going good, and when everything we are touching is turning into gold, and when every prayer that we pray is getting answered. It can be difficult to understand the tightness of our circle when there are no tests, but we are at the peaks of our mountains. It is kind of difficult because everybody wants to be in the winning circle, Lord have mercy. Everybody wants to be with you, and so sometimes it can be hard to always trust everybody that's in your circle when everything's going well, because you don't even know why they are in your circle in the first place. Some folks literally, they co-opted their way into your circle, and you looking up talking about, how did you get here? But the only reason they're there is because you're winning. But oh, wait a minute. Wait till you start to lose. You best believe that it won't be hard to tell the tightness of our circles when we find ourselves in our weakest and worst moments. It's when we don't have much to offer, don't have anything to benefit, and are in some of our greatest storms, where we are able to recognize what our circle is actually made of and the representation of those we've allowed access. It's when we don't see a way, when we don't have an answer, don't know a solution, don't recognize resources, that we are able to clearly understand how strong or weak our circle really is. Our circles are nearly as valuable when we're winning, but our circles are so required when we find ourselves losing. Can I get a witness? My father, I know many of you are seeing in the news, has a circle of friends that he's been connected to since kindergarten. 70-plus years of a circle that has only gotten even more tighter over their lifetime. My father was quoting the Washington Post, and he said, a true friend is someone who knows everything about you and loves you anyway. Anybody here got some true friends? They know everything. They know the good stuff and the bad stuff. They know where the bodies are buried. They know where the skeletons are hidden. They know everything about you, and they love you anyway. And that's what we see in this text. A lame man who found out just how tight a circle was when they did all they could do in order to get him to his breakthrough. I'm not sure how many he initially had in his circle, but in another text, in the version of Mark, it says that there were four of them that did everything they could for ride or die brothers. He had four followers on Instagram that just weren't followers, but they liked all his posts. They had four that were tight, four that were linked up, four that were going to make sure that he got exactly what he needed. I don't know about you. I don't need 10,000 followers. I just need four good friends. That's all I need. I just need a circle around me that can make sure that when I'm down and out, they will make sure to help me get back up. And my assignment is to help us all leave here with a better understanding of what kind of folks we need in order to have a tight circle, because the tightness of our circle can be the determining factor that helps us to soar like eagles or get fried like chickens. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm an eagle. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm an eagle this morning. I don't care what you've been trying to tell me, I'm an eagle. First thing we see in this text, in order to have a tight circle, you need to have folks around you, a circle around you who points you to possibilities. Look at somebody, tell them, there's possibilities for you. There's possibilities for you. Verse 18 says, some men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. These men were a part of this man's circle, and we see that their initial response to hearing that Jesus was close was to point their lame friend to the place where Jesus was. Word had already gotten out about this man, Jesus, that had the power to heal lame folks and to allow folks who couldn't speak to speak, and those who couldn't hear were hearing. And so they knew that there was the possibility of healing for their friend. And so they pointed him, these score. They all had one goal. one assignment, one mission, and that was to get their lame friend to Jesus. The reason I appreciate a circle like this is because there are many times where those in our circles find it easier to point at our problems instead of our possibilities. They are quick to give us the facts of what is instead of the faith of what could be. They stand in line and they take turns showing us how difficult our challenges are, but offer no real solutions except for salt in our open wounds. Ain't anybody remember Job? Job, in the midst of loss, suffering, and pain, he had a circle of friends who were only able to offer lengthy speeches with opinions, judgment, and condemnation, so much so that at one point Job told them, "You are miserable comforters, all of you." I don't know about you, but I learned over the years through trial and error that when I'm going through that, I've made it my business to only have people in my circle who can speak life, people in my circle who can share an encouraging word, people in my circle that can give me a positive perspective, people in my circle that can suggest solutions and not just show me every problem that I'm facing, people in my circle who still know how to get a prayer through. Look at somebody telling, "I see your possibilities." If your circle can only tell you what you did wrong, or how difficult it would be to get out of what you're in, or keep pointing you to your situation, your storm, and your circumstances, it's time for you to rethink and reevaluate your circle. If your circle doesn't support your dreams and believe in your breakthroughs and find hope in your personal aspirations, it's time for you to rethink and reevaluate your circle. If your circle can only offer you gossip instead of wisdom, then weed instead of words of encouragement, and a good time instead of a good prayer, it's time for you to rethink and reevaluate your circle. But in this next season, you better find some folks who will carry you when you're down. Put some of your weight on their backs when the load gets too heavy. Facilitate in finding you a solution. Relieve you from the added anxiety that's automatically associated from your adversary. And most of all, point you to the possibility of a God that can do the impossible. I need a tight circle. I need a tight circle. I need a problem solver like MacGyver. I need a reputation repair like Olivia Pope. I need a truth teller like Maya Angelou. I need a heart fixer like Charles Drew. I need a peacemaker like Gandhi. I need folks in my circle who see better in me than I see in myself. Tell somebody, I see your possibilities. Just let them know. Not only do you need a circle to seize your possibilities, you need a circle that will never give up on you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What are you talking about, Rev? In verse 19, it says, when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, comma. Comma means pause. Can I pause right here? I believe this comma is strategically placed. This comma is where many of those in our circles get off. This is the exit ramp due to a valid excuse, even though it's not the end of the road to our possibility. And so many times it's at this comma where we find our friends who used to be down with us, they get a little tired. They get a little worn down. Who would have thought these woke brothers coming this far, carrying this brother, getting to the door with no way of getting in and then turning around? Who would blame them? They had done a good deed, just taking on the task of getting their friend to where Jesus was. They had done a good deed, sacrificing their time for their friend who was in his greatest time of need. They had done a good deed by showing that they cared enough to carry him to Jesus' location. They had done a good deed by at least showing up and being there for their friend in the first place. So who could blame them if they realized that it was too crowded to get him to Jesus and they decided to head back? Who could blame them after all they had done to now turn around with such a major obstacle in front of them? But one of the greatest resources we can have in a tight circle is knowing that there are folks that will see us through to the other side of our situation. Folks that will figure out another option when obstacles get in the way. Folks that will stay with us until we receive exactly what we've been seeking from God. Is there anybody here that thanks God for a tight circle of people that didn't give up on you and didn't just leave you, but they saw you to the other side? Verse 19, I love after the come. It says, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Good God, I'm nice. So not only did they not quit on their friend, not only did they not turn around on their friend, but they found another option. And they ended up getting them in front of Jesus even quicker than they could have ever expected if they had went through the front door. Instead of turning around, they decided to dig up the roof and lower their friend at their master's feet. They looked at every and all options that they knew would get their friend the help he so desperately needed. They didn't look at his condition and his current circumstances to determine whether he was worth their time and energy. Matter of fact, they looked at what he was stacked against, and they unanimously agreed that every and all options had to lead them to Jesus. And can I tell you that your circle needs to have people in it that will stay with you through it all? And even when they don't have the answers, they know who the answer is. You don't need folks in your circle who know how to carry you just to the doorstep, but you need some folks who know how to carry you in prayer to the master's feet. You need folks who know how to send a text of encouragement. You need folks who know how to put a smile on your face and some joy in your heart. You need some folks who know how to read your mood and still show up and be there right where you are. You need folks who know the importance of just being an ear to listen to and a safe place to land. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm just telling you, you need a tight circle. Watch this, though. Because every time I read this, I always thought about what the man gained. If this worked, the man would get healed. If this worked, the man would get up. If this worked, the man's life would change. Whoa, wait a minute. Brother said, hold on. Said, now, the understand, priority was the man. But secondary was the benefit to us. Huh? What are you talking about? They said, hold on, this wasn't the first time we've been carrying our friend around. We carried him to the market. We carried him to see his family, and we had to carry him to get a haircut. We had to carry him to pick up this disability check. And so we've always been carrying him. They said, but if he got healed, our load got lighter. If he got healed, our circle got tighter. If he got healed, our backs got stronger. I dare you to stay around long enough that not only your friend gets blessed, but you get blessed because of what your friend got blessed with. Tell somebody it's blessing me too. That's why you got to be careful the kind of friend you are, because the kind of friend you are is the kind of friend you'll get. That you need to make sure that if you want a tight circle, that you got to be tight in the circle. I'll share this real quick, and I ain't it. God gave this to me. It's crazy because when I think of numbers, and I think of numbers, I also think of shapes. And so when I think of the number two, I think of the line, 1 to 2. And when I think of a 3, I think of a triangle. There you go. When I think of 4, I think of a square. And sometimes we get so connected to the story, and we talk about the 4 men, but the reality is it was 5. It was 5. And when I think of 5, Cord, I think of the circle. In other words, they understood that it was 5 to them. It wasn't 4 and a plus 1. It was 5 because they understood that the man they carried may be the man one day that would carry them. And I just need you to understand that in the circle means that everybody carries weight. Everybody holds you up. Everybody gets a prayer through. Everybody helps to make you stronger and better than who you are. Look at somebody, tell them, I just need my tight circle. That's all I need. Listen, it's the last thing I'm going to get y'all out of here. The last thing you need to understand, if you're going to have the tight circle, not only do you need to recognize and understand that you need a circle that will never give up in you, and also that you need a circle who points you to possibility. But can I tell you the last thing that I love about this text, the last thing that shouts me, the last thing that gets me excited, the last thing that makes me run around the church, the last thing that makes me scream hallelujah, the last thing you need to see in this text is that you need a circle whose faith is greater than yours. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. I don't care who you are. I don't care how sanctified, holy, Holy Ghost filled running through your life, five baptized you think you are. I don't care how much scripture you got in you. I don't care how many times you fasted. I don't care how many times you've gotten on your knees and prayed. We all get to this experience in our lives where our faith is not only tested, but our faith gets worn down. I wish I had some folks that would be honest enough to admit that even though I look good, I don't always feel good. I know what you saw on Instagram, but don't let it fool you, baby. I'm struggling. I'm going through. I get weighted sometimes. And there are just some challenges that we will face that get the best from the best of us. Storms that come out of nowhere. Surprises that catch us off guard. Heartache that we never could imagine. Loss that isn't always easy to bounce back from. And those hits can knock us down. And with unexpected combinations, body blows and jabs that have us in the corner ready to throw in the towel. But that is when we have to know we got a tight circle. Okay, y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Can I take you to the text? In verse 20, it says, "Ooh, good God Almighty. When Jesus saw their faith," hold on, it says, "friend, your sins are forgiven." Isn't it interesting that Jesus did not mention the lame man's faith? But it says that when Jesus saw his friend's faith, it caused him to pronounce a blessing over the lame man. We don't know what kind of faith the lame man had. We just know that the faith of his friends was greater than his, because Jesus noticed the greatest in the midst of what was taking place. When Jesus saw their faith, he couldn't help but answer their request. And I don't know about you, but when I don't feel like praying, when I don't feel like reading my word, when I don't feel like getting up Wednesday in the morning and getting on a call and calling and praying for other folks, when I don't feel like fasting, when I don't feel like counting all my blessings, when I don't feel like being grateful, when I don't feel like everything is going good for me, when I don't feel like I have enough faith, I just need to know that there are some folks in my circle whose faith is greater than my own faith. Folks who know how to get a prayer through. Folks who know how to keep my name in their mouth and my situation in their mind. Folks who know how to turn down a crate for my circumstance. Folks who know how to believe in a miracle when I can't believe in a miracle for myself. I need folks who I know how to get to Jesus when I feel I'm in my worst coin. Is there anybody here that just wants to tell God, thank you, not for my faith, but for my mama's faith, and for my daddy's faith, my auntie's and my uncle's faith, my grandmama's faith, my big talk's faith, because there were times that I couldn't do it, times I wanted to give up, but it was their faith that caused Judah to act, and because of their faith, I'm still here. Because of their faith, I'm still standing. Because of their faith, I'm still surviving. Because of their faith, I'm still making it. Because of their faith, I didn't give up. And I didn't give in. Because of their faith. Standing all over the church, tell somebody, I thank God for their faith.